Yeah, sir, you want this Russia sanctions bill signed within the next week or two, and will you sign it?
Well, I know that Lindsay wanted it very badly. I think they may be adding Iran to it. They're going to add Iran, which is a very big thing if they did that. They may add Hezbollah, too. Just put them if you do business with Hezbollah. So we're looking at that, but they're seriously thinking, and this is in honor of Lindsay. This was his thing. He wanted this more than any other thing. You know how he felt. And there's a good chance that it gets done, but they'd like to add Iran, and they'd like to add Hezbollah to it. That's what I'm hearing.
So. And if that is the secondary thing.
This is my video update on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 15th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the war in Iran. We have the fourth night, consecutive night of U.S. Airstrikes into Iran. And with each night of U.S. airstrikes, things are getting more intense. The U.S. started out hitting Iran for about an hour or two. They would launch airstrikes for about an hour or so. And then it became 2 or 3 hours, 4 hours. And now they're launching strikes that last as long as 6, 7, 8 hours. And they're going to be launching another strike, I believe, this evening as well. So if we are not at a full-on war, then we're definitely working up to a full-scale war. Full-scale. To borrow a word that the globalist cool kids use when talking about Project Ukraine. So 4 nights in a row, we're going to go on to 5 nights of attacks. The U.S. is... allegedly, they're hitting water facilities. Not only are they going after energy facilities and energy infrastructure, military infrastructure, but there are a lot of reports now which claim that the U.S. is hitting water facilities. The U.S. has just struck a bottled mineral production factory in Daloran, southwestern Iran, with 3 projectiles causing damage to the facility minutes ago, per the Daloran governor. This is the third U.S. strike on Iranian water infrastructure in recent days, following strikes on the Mahshar water pumping station and the Kish Island water and electricity production site. They keep on going after the water facilities. I think we all know what the retaliation from Iran is going to be. And that retaliation could be disastrous for the Gulf region. Trump was speaking to Fox News yesterday. He also met up with the Prime Minister of Iraq. The new Prime Minister of Iraq traveled to the United States and was meeting with Trump in the Oval Office. This is a Prime Minister that the U.S. was backing. They were pulling for this guy to become Prime Minister of Iraq. One of the first things that he did is he went into the green zone and he arrested various officials, allegedly for corruption. But the reports are that the officials, energy ministers and energy officials in the Iraq government were supporting Iran. And so one of the first things that the new prime minister did was to go after any kind of Iranian-backed politicians right before his trip to the United States, a couple of weeks before he made his way to D.C. to meet with Trump. There are a lot of analysts who are saying that the United States, the Trump administration, will be using Iraq for some sort of ground incursion. And Trump, when he was speaking to Fox News, he actually talked about the ground invasion, but he said that the ground invasion would not be with U.S. troops. Other people, according to Trump, would lead the ground campaign. Sometimes you need a ground campaign, but we have other people who will do the ground campaign for us. But we have already hit Karg Island twice, even three times. I said hit everything but the oil. So that's what Trump said during his interview with Fox News. So Iraq could be a kind of staging area. Will they try to recruit the Kurds again? They tried to recruit the Kurds during round two of the Iran war, and the Kurds said, no, thank you. But will they try again with the Kurds, or will they do something else? What will the Trump administration do if it does come down to a ground invasion? One thing's for certain, if this does ramp up, as it appears it is, to a full-scale war, then the main goal of this war will be to capture Hormuz, to capture and control Hormuz. Can you listen to those cicadas? Oh, they're up there. I wish I could catch one of them. When I was a kid, I used to be able to catch them. They blend in with the trees very, very nicely. But sometimes you can see them. One day I will find a cicada. And we will get it on video. And when I find that cicada and get it on video, I'm out. I'm done. That's my goal. The purpose of this entire channel has been to get a cicada on video. The news is the secondary. All right. So yeah, they're going to go after Hormuz to try and capture and control. It's not only just about capturing, but it's also about controlling and holding on to Hormuz and Karg Island. That's the goal of what is turning into a full-scale war. And if that is going to be the goal, then you're going to need ground forces. There is no doubt about that. And the clock is ticking. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick and a tock. Because the strategic petroleum reserves of the U.S. are starting to run very low. Oil is going up, continues to rise, and it is going to approach that 100 mark. And it is when it gets to that 100 mark that the Trump administration and Scott Bessent, they start to freak out. And then they really dig into the petroleum reserves to try and keep the oil at 100 or below 100. But check this out. Strategic petroleum reserves falls to the lowest level in almost 40 years. Yeah, the US military, the Trump administration has a month or two to get Hormuz, to capture Hormuz and to hold Hormuz. Give them 2 months. And if they can't get it in 2 months, then things get really, really bad in the United States and around the world. So that's Iran, everybody. That is what is going on. We had a big Taco Tuesday yesterday. Today is Wednesday. Yeah, it was a Taco Tuesday like no other. Trump was talking about on over the weekend and on Monday. Trump was talking about charging a 20% protection fee for Hormuz. Hormuz is going to be free and open and safe But the U.S. is going to want a 20% protection fee. So not quite free. But anyway, he was talking about that and everyone freaked out. The Gulf countries freaked out. The entire world freaked out over that that statement. 20% protection fee. Pirate Trump. The Don. But he had to walk all of that back. Price of oil started to surge when he made that announcement. He wasn't really thinking when he floated that idea out there, was he? But he walked it all back on Tuesday. He changed up the story. And he said that, you know what, all of the Gulf countries, all the kings and queens, all the king's horses and all the king's men, they all started calling me the emirs. And they said, please don't put 20% protection fee. Come on, don't do it, Trump. And so they came up with the idea of just having the Gulf countries invest in the United States. So he's going to remove the whole 20% protection fee for Hormuz, if you believe this entire story, but it is pretty creative. And instead, the Gulf countries are going to just invest billions and billions into the United States. Invest in what? I don't know. Invest how much? Who knows? But that's the deal that they made. So he walked everything back. The guardians of Hormuz. That's what he said in his Truth Social post. We're going to impose a 20% protection fee, and we're going to be called the guardians of the Hormuz Strait. The ghost of Kiev. The guardians of the galaxy. Angel of Harlem. Where's Bono when you need him? Anyway, yeah, that's all been walked back. So we'll stay with Trump, the Trump White House, and his meeting with the Iraqi prime minister. And he was asked about sanctions on Russia. The late Lindsey Graham's dying wish, which was to approve the bone-crushing sanctions on Russian oil, secondary sanctions on any country that is buying and selling and exporting and importing Russian oil. Bone-crushing sanctions. They asked Trump in the White House, are you going to go ahead with it? And Trump signaled that he was. And it's all going to be in honor of Lindsey Graham, the bone-crushing sanctions in honor of Lindsey Graham. And not only will the Trump administration place or support the congressional initiative, the legislation to place bone-crushing sanctions on Russia, but they will also support sanctions on Iran. Why not? Might as well throw it all in there. Trump said he is going to sanction Russia, Iran, and Hezbollah in honor of Lindsey Graham. In honor of Lindsey Graham, we will place sanctions on everybody. We'll place sanctions on everyone in honor of Lindsey Graham. So we have some details on, some more detail on the bone-crushing sanctions. According to Axios, it's not going to be 500%. What we're looking at is 100%, a 100% tariff or fee on any country that is trading Russian oil. And Axios is reporting that this is mainly targeting China and India. What is Axios saying? Why it matters. If enacted, the bill would ratchet up pressure on Vladimir Putin by imposing 100% tariffs on the five largest importers of Russian oil and gas, likely including China and India. The one thing about this legislation, when it goes through, is that it gives Trump a lot of flexibility and authority with these sanctions. He can call them off. He can call off the sanctions if he wants. He can impose the sanctions if he wants. It gives him a lot of power. These sanctions. He does have to get some some approval from Congress, but pretty much he's in charge of the sanctions. So I would not be surprised if Trump doesn't do anything with these sanctions. But maybe he will. Maybe he will use them as some sort of negotiating leverage or something like that over Putin. After all, he is the neutral mediator. So maybe as the neutral mediator, he will use the sanctions card as he is mediating with the Russian president. It's probably how he's thinking about it, to be quite honest. Ah, the neutral mediator. So disappointed in the neutral mediator going along with Lindsey Graham's plan. So disappointed. And I really thought that the U.S. was the neutral mediator in the conflict in Ukraine. I really thought they were neutral. I guess I was wrong. Peskov was asked about the sanctions, and his reply was typical Peskov. We're monitoring it. We get information from the United States, and they talk to us through back channels and through their diplomats, and they give us some insight, and we monitor the situation, and we'll continue to see how everything goes. That was Peskov's reply to the sanctions. Basically, he said nothing about the fact that the Trump administration is green-lighting Lindsey Graham's bone-crushing sanctions, which, once again, you always have to keep in mind that Trump pretty much has full control of whether to enact these sanctions or to pull them back or whatever. But anyway, that was Peskov. And then we have this Financial Times article, which claims that the European Union has given Ukraine the green light to purchase Chinese drone parts. This is using the EU loan money. They can take that loan money. The first tranche is 6 billion euros, and they can use that money to purchase Chinese drone parts and components. It's a Financial Times exclusive. Brussels has allowed Kiev to use part of the 6 billion tranche to purchase critical items in short supply in Europe, a move that highlights China's role in supplying both sides of the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Ukraine to buy Chinese drone parts with EU funds, says the Financial Times. This is a great tavern. I've eaten here, actually. The Plaka Tavern. It's very, very tasty. Traditional Cypriot taverna. Nice outdoor seating in the evening. You can't come in the daytime. It's just way too hot. I always get in the comments, where are all the people? Alex, where are all the people? No one is going to be outside except for me in this heat. No one. Everyone's in the AC. That's where everyone is. So let's get back to China. China and drone parts. Purchased by Le Goblin Ver. And the collective West, the EU cool kids, are always complaining about how China is funding and backing Putin's war machine. They're always crying and whining about how China is backing, enabling, funding Putin's war machine. And here they are, telling Le Goblin Ver to purchase Chinese drone parts. So the next time Mark Rutte gets on stage and makes a statement to the media about how China is enabling Russia, and Kaya Kallas or Ursula talk about how China's enabling Russia, next time they come out with that statement, a reporter should raise his hand or her hand and say, excuse me, didn't you just give Le Goblin Ver permission to buy Chinese drones? Oh, yeah. But still, it's not right that China is enabling Putin's war machine. Well, China seems to be enabling Ukraine's war machine, right? as the Financial Times is putting it, China is playing both sides. Now, there were reports, and we did a video on this on the Duran with Alexander, that last time Putin was in China visiting with Xi, he brought up the topic of Chinese drones going to Ukraine. Big business for China, right? The drones, the drone business. And he got some sort of a, I don't want to say a commitment, but it was being discussed between the two leaders how to cut out the drones going to Ukraine. Allegedly, these drones, the drone components from the drone companies in China, they go to Malaysia, they go to the Philippines, mostly Malaysia, and then it's from Malaysia that Ukraine purchases the drone components, or so the story goes. So that was the Financial Times, and sticking with Project Ukraine, Vander Cesar took the midnight train from Poland to Kiev. Just a small town girl from a small village in Germany, living in this lonely world. She took the midnight train going to visit Le Gobelin Vert. Don't stop believing, Ursula. You will be able to push Russia to tatters. You will create a Russian economy in tatters. Don't stop believing. You can do it, Ursula. So she ended up in Kiev, you see? Gets on the train from Poland, makes her way to Kiev. No problem. Every day you get the Collective West Cool Kids traveling to and from Kiev. And they bring with them all kinds of plans and schemes and God knows what else. God knows what else they're bringing with them as they travel to Kiev. So Ursula said, just arrived in Kiev for my 11th visit to Ukraine in wartime. It's a special moment. Ukraine has built a strong military momentum. The tide is turning. I will announce new initiatives to integrate our defense industries so we can produce more and faster. We will also discuss accession and preparations for this winter. The tide is turning. The tide is high and Ursula's moving on. The tide is turning. She loves that phrase. Every post of hers now is the tide is turning. Every single post. Even if it doesn't have to do with Ukraine, she just says the tide is turning, right? Today, the European Commission is implementing check control. The tide is turning. She loves that phrase. She loves that phrase. The tide is turning. So yeah, they're integrating the militaries. That means the EU funds. EU funds for Project Ukraine. Big funds, billions and billions, hundreds of billions, right? In all of her Ukraine military funds. Everyone wants a piece of Ursula's Ukraine military funds. But if you want to dip into the EU's military funds, you have to do some business with Ukraine. It has to include some Ukraine component if you want to get your grubby hands on those funds, those EU funds. And France is the latest country that is eyeing those EU funds. Macron, when Le Gobelin Vert was in Paris, he announced that France is going to be giving all kinds of licenses to Le Gobelin Vert to make French weapons, including the Scalp missiles, Scalp Storm Shadows, UK Storm Shadow, French Scalp missiles, as well as other weapons systems. So all those licenses are going to be handed over to the most corrupt country in Europe, maybe even the world. And they're going to start, according to Macron, producing weapons and missiles inside of Ukraine. That's what Macron said. They will even set up production facilities inside Ukraine. I just did a circle. Oh, well, let's walk up this way. This takes us to the main street. So yeah, Scalp missiles manufactured in factories inside of Ukraine. Russia's not going to touch those factories, of course not. They will not touch the factories that are producing the Scout missiles in Ukraine. They will leave those factories alone, just like they will leave the Patriot missile factories alone as well. Yeah, no problem. Just manufacture away. We'll agree to not touch those factories. Okay. No, these will be manufactured, if they're even manufactured. That's not the important part. The important part is to get the contracts signed up and through and to get the money from the EU to the French military companies. That's the important part. Whether they make missiles or not, it's all secondary stuff. It's a dead end. Let's go this way. I don't know these areas. So yeah, this will be facilities if something is up and running in France or elsewhere. But you have to say that you're going to be producing these things in cooperation with Ukraine as a joint venture. And yeah, we'll even build a factory. Now, European Union, give us $50 billion from that $200 billion fund. Here you go. Thank you very much. All is good. So that was Macron. And Starmer, 008, in one of his last appearances with the EU cool kids, at least until he becomes either the Prime Minister of Ukraine or the CEO of NATO. In his role as Prime Minister of the UK, this may have been his last meeting with all the cool kids, co-chairing the coalition of the willing meeting. And Starmer said that 25 countries are ready to deploy forces to Ukraine after ceasefire. After the ceasefire, what ceasefire? Okay, after the ceasefire, yeah, 25 countries, sure. Sure, we'll deploy our forces to Ukraine, yeah. Okay, after the ceasefire, yeah, after the ceasefire, absolutely. 008, Keir Starmer. So the latest update on Zelensky's cabinet shakeup, which is something that you do if you're winning, according to Alexander Stubb. If you are the winning side in a conflict, absolutely, you shake up your administration, you fire people, and you put together a whole new cabinet. That's what the winning side always does. And we have an update that the prime minister is gone, Svitenko Yulia, but she will not be, most likely she will not be the ambassador to the United States. She will be the head of Zelensky's office or something like that, some position like that. And there are rumors that the android AI robot Budanov is going to shift over to become the defense minister, which definitely means that Ukraine, along with the CIA, because when you're talking about Budanov, you're talking about the CIA, right? He's the CIA's guy, MI6 CIA. Without a doubt, Ukraine is going to start shifting to a covert dirty war type of operation with Budanov there. There is no doubt about it. If Budanov becomes the defense minister, that is the clearest signal from Ukraine that the war, the actual ground operation, frontline conflict, battlefield war with Russia is winding down, and Ukraine, along with the intel agencies of the collective West, will start shifting to the dirty, covert conflict. So we have an update as well on the whole Olympic thing, the IOC reinstating Russia. Actually, the Russian Federation is now appearing on the IOC's website as well. So Russia is back in the Olympic game. And the European Union doesn't like it. Estonia was complaining yesterday, and now we have 9 countries in Europe that are whining and crying about Russia being reinstated to the IOC, and they are threatening the IOC with pulling EU funding. So these 9 countries, which are, one second, Sweden, Estonia, the Netherlands, Lithuania, Latvia, Poland, Romania, Finland, and Denmark. Denmark. They signed an open letter, and they are urging the European Union to pull all of the funding that goes to the International Olympic Committee because they reinstated the Russian Federation. If I was running the IOC, and I would run the IOC like a dictator, I would run it like a freaking dictator, I would tell these countries, Sweden, Estonia, Netherlands, Lithuania, Latvia, Poland, Romania, Finland, and Denmark, I would say, oh, really? You're going to pull our funding? No Olympics for you. That's right. You're out of the Olympics. All of the events. All of the events? Yes, all of the events. No money, no Olympics. That's how I would be running the IOC, but I'm not running the IOC. Let's get to a clown world. And we will start things off. Did I get to all the news? One second. Yeah, I got everything. I got it all. Let's start things off. We have a lot of clown worlds for today. With Macron. Bastille Day and Coalition of the Willing Day in Paris. And it was Give Keir Starmer an Award Day. That's right. They love giving each other awards. They love having events. They love giving each other awards. They love inviting Les Gobelins Verts to the events. Have you seen the video of Les Gobelins Verts surrounded by all of the EU cool kids? And they're all over Les Gobelins Verts. They are hugging Les Gobelins Verts. They are all over him. We're talking about a super spreader Alensky curse event. Red alert, red alert. Alensky curse. A super spreader. All of the cool kids were all around Alensky. Give me a hug, give me a hug. Let me hug him. My turn. No, my turn. That's a funny video. Alensky was just like, wow. Wow, these guys love me. I'm very popular. Yes, you are, Mr. President. You're the most popular. Anyway, Macron, I think, monopolized most of Les Gobelins Verts' time, I would say. But yeah, that video was pretty funny. Anyway, they love to hang out. They love to eat their shrimp cocktails at these events and put out all kinds of Russia, Russia, Russia. Tide is turning. We will support Ukraine until the end. Statements. And they love to give awards to one another. And in this instance, Starmer got a big award. I believe he is the first acting UK Prime Minister to receive the Légion d'honneur. I know I pronounced that wrong. I tried to pronounce that correctly. But anyway, he got a big, big award. He is the first British Prime Minister to receive the award, says Politico. I thought Churchill received the award. Maybe Churchill got the award after he was Prime Minister. So a first for the UK, a first for Keir Starmer. French President Emmanuel Macron presented UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer with one of France's highest honors, the Légion d'honneur, in recognition of his contribution to Europe's security. The French President said Starmer had played a historic role in convening the coalition and thanked him for his personal leadership and the commitments he had made for the security of Europe, Ukraine, and bilateral relationship. I have to say, all the human qualities that we learn to appreciate, all those remain very important to all of us. We found with you a very reliable and friendly partner, Macron added. Wow. 008. He scored a big award. A very, very big award. His human qualities that we learned to appreciate, we found them in Starmer. Peak clown world. Peak freaking clown world. Let's see. Macron with an approval rating of 5% gives Starmer with an approval rating of 10% the highest, one of the highest awards you can receive from France. with BlackRock Mertz watching on with an approval of 3%. I'll check it out. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So we have a scandal from the festivities in Paris with Zelensky trying to open a water bottle, an EU water bottle. Now, the EU water bottle is one of the great achievements of Ursula von der Leyen was that they created the caps of the water bottles to be attached to the water bottle, to the bottle, so that you can't remove the cap. It's always there. It's stuck onto the bottle, like a little piece of it. So it's very difficult to remove the cap. And this was one of the great achievements of the European Union, if not the greatest achievement of the EU, was the whole water bottle cap achievement. And Zelensky was opening up his water bottle, and he didn't like the fact that he couldn't completely remove the cap, and so he like tears it off. Big mistake. That's it. That is it. Ukraine is out of the EU. They're out of the EU. No more money, no more funding. That's it. Everyone was shocked in horror. Ursula was like, what are you doing? Not the cap. Not the cap. What did I do? I hate this freaking cap, Podolyak. I can't drink the water. No, Mr. President. Don't remove the cap. Don't remove the cap. The one time that I'm in agreement with Zelensky when it comes to the water bottle cap, I'm in agreement with him. That freaking cap on the water bottles. Man, is it annoying. I'm with you, Le Gobelin Vert, on that one. Oh, boy. Ridiculous stuff in Paris. It was a clown world day in Paris. No doubt about it. And let's do a final clown world. And this takes us to the FIFA World Cup. Spain advances. They defeated France 2-0. And we have this announcement from FIFA, from Gianni Infantino, who will allow Trump to break FIFA protocol and join the World Cup winners for the trophy lift. In other words, Trump is going to lift the FIFA trophy. Yeah, he is going to lift that trophy along with the winning team, or he's going to present the trophy. First, he'll lift it, then he'll present it to the winners, who will then lift it. Or maybe Trump's going to join the captain on the platform so they could lift the FIFA trophy together. Anyway, it completely breaks FIFA protocol. But Gianni Infantino, he's made a mess of FIFA protocol during this World Cup. 149, 164, 159, Euro diesel. 159, 9, 160. $95 is $149.9, $150. $95. So the only thing that I have to say about this this story is if Trump is going to be there to lift the FIFA World Cup award with the winning team, all I can say is, come on, Spain. Come on, Spain. Yep, that sealed it for me. I'm España. I'm on board with Spain for this one now. Spain with Trump and the FIFA award. Wow, that would be something, given all of the trash talking from Trump on Spain and placing an embargo on Spain. Once upon a time, saying Spain was part of BRICS. That would be something if they're on the pitch with the FIFA trophy. Anyway, that's the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X and Rumble and Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch. We have a special, 29 26% off all merch on the Durant shop, a summer sale. And thank you to everyone. We're also on Substack, so definitely check us out on Substack. And thank you to everyone that is hitting the like button for this video. Thank you to everyone that has subscribed to this channel or will subscribe to this channel. I very much appreciate it. And thank you to everyone that is smashing and obliterating the hype button. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.